Morning, we are going to start a three-week, not series, but sub-series on prayer. It's the part we're getting into in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount where he talks about prayer. So for the next 3 weeks, we'll be looking at prayer from the Sermon on the Mount. And in light of that, I just wanted to recommend one resource. I only have one of these out here, though, but it's a book called The Valley of Vision. And this is a book that has helped me profoundly in my prayers. It's a collection of prayers, of Puritan prayers, collected over the centuries, put into topics, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, our needs, and things. So they are, because they are Puritan prayers written from a different century, some of them are you know, they're not just casual reading. You need to kind of digest them all. But I would just encourage you that's I only have one copy for now. That's a resource for you and for your prayers. What I'm going to try to do too is when I get some of these books, and you know, there's new books every week out there, but I'm going to try and put a copy in the library. So if you don't need or don't want to actually buy one, that you can borrow from the library. That they'll be there for that too. So I should have thought of that earlier. Sorry about that. There's another book I want to call out, not having to do with prayer. It's a little book by a man named Greg Gilbert. It's part of the Nine Marks Ministry, which is Capitol Hill Baptist Church in D.C. It's called What is the Gospel? What is the Gospel? An excellent book on just helping us understand salvation, how we must be saved, what the Gospel is, what it does, who God is, who we are, who Christ is, and what our response needs to be. So I commend those resources to you. As we turn to God's Word, yes. Oh, I held it up during the beginning of the announcement. I did. Yes. Sorry, you're probably outside. Yes. For Dr. Jeremiah is what Roger's referencing. Let's pray. Oh, Creator God, our Father who art in heaven, we thank you, O Lord, that we can be here this morning. We thank you, Father, that you've brought us here because you love us, because you want to bless us, Lord, because you want to be with us, Father. We thank you for this special time that you have created and set aside, that we can, as your family, come together for a family time of praising you, of worshiping you, of getting to know you, of spending time with you, of just being with you, Father. I ask you, Lord, that in this time you would shape us, your people, that you would help us to pray, Lord, to be with you. I pray also, Lord God, for those of us who are here who do not have a relationship with you yet, who don't know you as Father, Lord. And just pray that this morning and this time, through your word and the working of your Spirit in us, Lord, that all of us would see Jesus as our Savior and believe in him for salvation, that we may become children of God. So would you please be glorified this morning, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, what sinful, wretched people we are. That as we come to the topic of prayer, the most intimate, holy time in our lives of communion, fellowshipping with our Creator God, that in that most holy of times, we sin. And that's what Jesus addresses in this morning's passage. That in that time in which we would expect as believers in Jesus Christ, as Christians, we would be the most connected with God, is the time when we often are the most distracted from God. We need God's Word this morning. Would you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 6 as we look at verses 5 through 8 this morning. Matthew chapter 6. To remind you what he's doing in chapter 6, chapter 6 of Matthew, it's part of the Sermon on the Mount, is broken up into two sections, verses 1 through 18 and then 19 to the end. And in the first section, 1 through 18 here, he is telling us, really, verse 1 lays out his idea, and then he gives three different illustrations of this idea. But verse 1 tells us his main point: be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. It's always, this first section is about our Christian life with regards to our religious activities. And the examples that he gives are through our giving, through our prayer, and the third one, we'll get to in 3 weeks, is on fasting. It has to do with, all right, we're Christians, we're part of the kingdom, we're children of God, of our Lord and Savior, of our King whom we love and desire. What are we to be, Lord? What are we to be? And he's saying, in your acts of righteousness, in your good deeds done in Jesus' name, do them not for the world to see, but do them only from a heart that wants to please God. We looked at that last week with our giving, and this week now we begin to talk about what does that look like? What does it mean not to do our good works before men, but instead to do them unto God alone out of love in our hearts for Him with regards to prayer? So we'll look at verses 5 through 8 this morning. Jesus declares, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. But I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is seen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." This is God's word. Praying. We'd think it would be the most simple thing in the world just to pray. And yet, for most of us, it becomes something that we struggle with for our whole lives. First of all, let's notice something here, who Jesus is talking to. We've said this for the whole Sermon on the Mount. It's very important for this section also. Jesus is talking to Christians. He's talking to Christians. That's very important for understanding this whole the whole call to pray. Hopefully we'll see that a lot more as we go through this. If you're not saved by God's grace through believing in Jesus Christ, then you can't pray to God the Father. He's not your Father. We've not been brought into relationship with Him. We can't come to Him as Father apart from Christ. Now, He is omniscient and omnipresent, and so He hears and He knows the prayers and the words and the thoughts of everyone, Christian, non-Christian. Yes. But only if we are adopted into God's family, made children of God through God's grace by believing in Jesus, only if He is our Father can we obviously pray to Him as our Father. Right? Another child may be in a crowd and kind of lose their way with where their parents are and grab onto, you know, your leg, and it's not your child, and kind of look up, and you're kind to them, and you're, you know, that's great, no, that's kind of funny and all that, let's find your parents. But you're not their father, their mother. And everything is different when it's your child who clings to you and comes to you. And we can only come to the Father in prayer if we are in Jesus Christ. It is an obvious point, but a very important one, as we'll see more. Part of what Jesus calls us to here in prayer is this idea that God is our Father. That is one of the more profound shifts, I think, in our understanding of what prayer is, how we are to pray. Well, Jesus lays out two different things: how not to pray and how to pray. And in each of those, he kind of has two sub-points. So if you like outlines like me, this is nice. You have two main points, each with two sub-points. Nice symmetry to it all. It's just beautiful. Love it. But first he starts with, as he has been all often throughout the Sermon on the Mount, he starts with the negative: how not to pray. And the first thing he says in verse 5 is, don't focus on people. When you pray, don't focus on people. Verse 5, and when, notice that, when, not if, just like with giving, when, not if, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. How not to pray. When we pray, don't focus on people. Now, first, I don't think that this is saying we shouldn't have public prayer. Right? Later on, Jesus will say to go into your room secretly and all that. We could draw conclusions and say, oh, well, that means we shouldn't pray in public. We shouldn't pray out loud. I don't believe that's what he's talking about, right? Let's remember, the Sermon on the Mount, this is not for us to replace the Old Testament laws with a new set of rules to follow. Jesus isn't giving us rules. If we're trying to say, well, let me take the way I do things, giving, prayer, whatever it is, and let me try to match it up with the lists of stuff Jesus tells us to see how I'm doing. That's not what Jesus is calling us here. He's describing the heart of the Christian who is in love with Jesus and what flows out of that heart. Okay? So the don't focus on people part here, don't stand praying in the synagogues and on the street corners. You can't say, he's not saying they love to pray standing. Oh, so we should pray sitting. That's what Jesus means. No, that's not what he means. Right? And if we read this with our hearts, we see that. Don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Aha, now we're getting at the literally heart of the matter here. When you pray, don't pray for the desire for people to see you. And at first this may seem like, oh, that's easy. I don't do that. I don't pray up in front, and that's why in prayer groups and, you know, Bible studies, I don't pray out loud, so I'm safe from this one here. Well, let's take a look at it a little bit. First, I do think we need to be very careful when we are praying publicly, whether you're praying up here, praying with a person during coffee hour, praying over the phone with someone. You know, it's very different. It's very easy to get caught up and start thinking about, well, I want my words to sound right. I want to have a beautiful prayer. I want to make it sound right. Now, let's see. How should I word it? How should I phrase it? You ever have those thoughts when you're praying out loud with someone? I want to see. I want. And it's a subtle shift to, I want them to think I'm spiritual. I want them to think I know God really well. I remember when I was first a Christian, I was a junior in college, and very excited about the Lord, just came to believe in Jesus Christ, very excited about the Lord, and I was in a Bible study. There's only three of us in the Bible study. My first Bible study ever, it was totally weird to me. I had, you know, no idea what we're doing here or anything. They'd say, you know, turn to the book of, and I'd be like, books, I brought the Bible, what book are you talking about? No idea. And then there's one particular small group time together, the one who led the study said, Scott, would you close us in prayer? And right out of my mouth, no way! Are you kidding me? pray out loud? There's no way. I know many now say, wish I'd go back to that sometimes. But the thought of having to pray in front of people was so scary to me that it made me think more about my words and how people would hear them than about my Father, who I'm talking to. And so the warning here is, when you pray, don't stand or sit or be in front of people and desire, whatever setting it is. Again, it's in a church, it's in a small group, it's with your children. Let us not focus on how our words sound. Because see, it's not about people. Don't focus on people. I'll give another example. You may say, well, that's fine, I don't pray in public. In fact, I take what Jesus will say in a minute here so seriously that I have my times of prayer, and I go into my closet, I go into my study, into my room, and I close the door. The whole family knows that's my private time with God. Family knows that. In fact, I've told some of my workers, you know, when we get to work, that, you know, at lunchtime, they all see that I close my door and I have my prayer time just between me and God. It's the same thing. We can be, even in our times of being, quote-unquote, alone with God, we desire in some ways for people to know that we're alone with God. And is that not the same thing? We're focusing now on people and what people think about us. Jesus says that's hypocritical. See, that's why I start by saying, oh, what wretched, sinful folks we are, that we who love God, when we get into this intimate moment, we're so focused on other things and how other people are going to view us, that we lose our focus on God in our times of prayer. How not to pray? Don't focus on people. Secondly, how not to pray? Don't focus on the form of our prayers. This is actually in verse 7. We're skipping over verse 6 for a second here. That's on how to pray. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Now, this does not mean, I believe, that we should not pray for something more than once. Jesus in the book of Luke tells the parable of the persistent widow who goes to the judge again and again and again, hear my case, hear my case, hear my case. And Jesus says, will not the judge, even though he is wicked, listen to the woman because of her persistence? How much more will God the Father listen to you when you persist in prayer? So there is a call to continue in prayer. That verse in Luke passage is encouraging us and speaking to us and teaching us not to give up praying just because we don't see something we like or want right away. This passage is saying, look, when we pray, it's not about the form our prayers take. It's not about using the right words, the right language. It's not about praying enough times. It's not about praying with enough people. See, when we focus on all those things, our focus again comes away from God. There's a fine line here. You see, the prayer that Jesus says not to do and the praying that Jesus says to do, on the outside looking in, could look very similar. It could be, if we saw a person praying as Jesus says not to, and if we saw a person or heard a person praying as Jesus says to, that we on the outside looking in would have no idea which is which. Because it's from the heart. And God sees the heart. So, good is to call together brothers and sisters to pray. Let's get as many of us together that we may seek God for whatever. Revival in the land. Okay? bad. Not that this side is bad. I don't mean that. Just a little visual. You're welcome, brother. Bad is this subtle shift in that, subtle, that begins to think something like, boy, if only enough people got together and prayed, then God would move. God is holding back His blessing because not the right number of people are praying. You see, that begins to focus on form and forcing the hand of God. Oh, what were the details? Oh, I forget. The Haystack prayer meeting. In the year, I think 17-something, I think, Williams College, Western Mass. Four Christian men, big rainstorm comes on, they find shelter under a haystack, literally, while it's pouring, they just start to pray, feel led to pray. And for one of the first times in America, they start praying for God to send out American Christians to other countries who've never heard the gospel. Missionaries, as we call them now. Never been done before. From that movement, that prayer meeting, thousands of missionaries were sent forth. Four people. Middle of a rainstorm. No music. God will move as He sees fit. We are called not to focus on the form. Am I saying the right words? Have I said it enough times? Have I prayed enough times? Have I prayed long enough? You know, we often look at the saints of old, the people who were so close to God, and we should. And we say, well, what is it about them? We say, oh, they spent a lot of time in prayer. I want to be a saint like they are. I want to be close to God like them. Therefore, let me emulate what they do and spend a lot of time in prayer. How much time am I spending in prayer? I've been spending 10 minutes in prayer. I'm going to double it this week and then double it again next week and double again next week. Because that's what the saints of old did. I don't think that's a right approach. I think it wasn't that the saints of old prayed a lot and so they became saints. I think that they loved God and so they spent a lot of time in prayer because they loved God. They didn't do it to try to get something, get some position from God. It sprung out of their hearts of just love for God. So don't focus on the form, how long, how much, the right words. And don't focus on the people, which ultimately means don't focus on us. When we pray, that's what we're really, when we're focusing on people, we're really saying we want to look good. Okay, how are we to pray? Jesus says two ways. First, how are we to pray? We're to pray focused on God. Verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Now again, let's not look at this as a list. Oh, Jesus says the only time we're allowed to pray is when we are by ourselves with doors closed and no one knows we're there. No, I don't believe it's what he's saying. We see in the book of Acts, the first century church, they did lots of public prayer meetings, praying out loud, praying together. They did all throughout the scriptures. Jesus is describing the heart of saying, look, instead of praying so that you want to be seen or you want people to know how spiritual you are, just spend time alone with God. It's just you and God. Focus on God, which we can do, though it's challenging, I know, when we're in public. We can do when we're walking down the street. We can do when we're in a prayer group, when we're in a Bible study, when we're with our children, when we're with our spouse, when we're with our friends. And we can do it when we're one-on-one with God. The focus is not on, am I saying it right? Am I getting the right words, God? Is this the way I'm supposed to say it? We focus on God. Now, in light of this, what do we do when, I'm sure this doesn't happen to you. I'll use myself as an example. When I'm praying, I'm prone, just like, you know, once every 3 or 4 seconds, to focus away from God. I'll be in mid-sentence, and then I think about, did I put the dryer on? I don't do that. That example. You know, what's the weather going to be today? What should I wear? Did I call that person back? I should really take, oh, I need to, that's right, I've got to make a note to do that. Did that person reply to the email yet? Oh, right, Father, I know none of you are like that. What do we do when we get distracted? We are a highly distracted people, and getting more so. And we can begin to really beat ourselves up. You ever get really discouraged in your prayers when you get distracted? I go, oh, Father, I'm so sorry. God, why can't I just focus on you? Just a suggestion. If you're in prayer, you go, Father, today would you really help me? Oh, I got to take care of that other detail. Oh, God, I lost track of you. Thanks for bringing me back. Thanks for bringing me back, God. Where was I? Yes, Lord, let's... Oh, and then I have to do... Oh, God, I did it again. Thanks for bringing me back, God. Thanks for bringing me back. I don't think we beat ourselves up over it. I think your Father in heaven, he's just sitting there going, I know, come on. Come to me. I know, let's focus. Let's focus. Okay. And we come back to him in love and thankfulness, not with beating yourself up over it. You just pray to God, and we continue to focus on God, and when our focus gets away, and when but God by his grace taps us on the shoulder and reminds us to focus back on him, we say, thank you, God. Where was I? Thank you. Secondly, and finally, how are we to pray? Verse 8, we pray focused on our Father. Verse 8, do not be like them, the pagans, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You don't have to ask him again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Please hear me, please hear me. Please. If I say it louder, God, maybe you hear me. If I say it the right way, maybe you hear me. If I get enough people to say it, maybe you'll hear me. No. God is not some taskmaster up there saying, I'm waiting for the 101st person to pray. You only have 100. You've only prayed for 7 minutes. I have set that it's going to be 8.5 minutes of your prayer before I'll answer your prayer. That's not how fathers are. Now, maybe some of you had fathers that were like that. That's not how God, your Father, is. How should we pray? Remembering who God is. And who is he? He is your Father who loves you and wants to be with you. He's inviting you to come spend time with you. You know why? Because he's going to force you to do it so that you can, so that you, he'll give you what you want? No. He just loves to be with you. Sort of joke sometimes on Mother's Day, and maybe this is too personal, I shouldn't, for some of you, but I will. I know this is none of you. I know that. Sometimes on Mother's Day, extra people show up for church. Right? Sometimes mothers say, well, what I really want is just for you to come to church with me. I was in labor for 37 hours. All I want. Again, none of you, I know. And so we come because, okay, Mom, to make Mom happy, right? In order to really get what we want, which is just for Mom to stop nagging us, we're just going to appease her. That's not our Heavenly Father. There's no quid pro quo where God's saying, I'm going to withhold blessing until you come to me. He says, come spend time with me. I got some blessings I want to share with you. The Father loves to be with you. The Father loves for you to come and spend time and talk with Him and be with Him. He wants to be with you. Think about, and again, if you have a hard relationship with your father or whatever, okay, I understand that can really, really impede our understanding or thinking about this here. But think, you know, in the idealistic way, the way it's supposed to be, right? Where you as a child and your father enjoys being with you and wants to be with you. In all its perfection, that's God the Father. So we come to Him not saying, well, Dad, I'll go to church 3 more times if you just do this for me, God. I promise, God, that I'll stop this thing. If you'll just do this for me, God. It's not a bartering with God. It's not how we come before God. We come before Him as, Dad, Father, thanks. It's so good to be with you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you, Father. Father, this is on my heart. You know it, but I want to talk to you about it. Come to God because He is our Father, and we remember that. So, brothers and sisters, come. Come. Be with your Father. Let's pray. Father God, oh Lord, thank You that through Jesus Christ we get to be with You, Lord. I ask You to help us, Father, to not try to figure out how we should be praying and not try to wrestle with our failures in praying, God, but that we would have such a love for You. We would see You, Father, and that You're there calling us, inviting us, longing to be with us, which is what we all want. Help us, Father, to come into Your arms, sit and be with You, and talk with You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.